Well, as you begin this idea of, you know, God as an eternal creator and start to think about these things, you know, the first place to go, obviously, is the beginning of the Bible. So we're thinking about what it says here in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and the verse that many of us know, the things that we teach children is when they're early on, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so, as you start to think about that, we touched on this, I think, last week at the very beginning of class as we were trying to appreciate the importance of knowing God and truly knowing Him and why that's important and the things that we can know because we know God. So why is this verse so foundational to our faith? Why is it important for us to appreciate this and to believe it? What do you think, Alan? Okay. All right. So appreciating the magnitude of what God did, that's part of what we're starting to think about. What else? Dwight? Okay. Right. I think it's important to consider that, because there are plenty of people in the world today who want to acknowledge a higher power. They want to acknowledge that there's something greater than themselves, but they struggle sometimes with what that is, or they struggle with what it means to acknowledge that. In other words, sometimes we, as humans, will take the idea of, well, I want the comfort of knowing that there is something bigger than myself, because we see that humanity is frail. Humanity fails. Humanity, you know, there's things that happen that we can't control. And so we want to know that there's the idea of there's something bigger than myself. We want that comfort. But then going so far as to say there is an eternal God who created all things, and because He created all of these things, that necessarily demands then that I have to give myself to Him and to what He wants and what He asks. Well, that's a lot harder. That goes beyond just having a comfort about that there's something greater than myself to I need to submit myself to that. And so that's where people start to struggle with it if they don't have faith in this idea that God is the creator of all things. And when they start to look at other ways that things have been created, then sometimes we have those who, you know, maybe humanity takes some comfort in, well, there was a bigger purpose or there was a bigger plan, and we're just trying to understand that, but it doesn't require anything of me. You see what I mean about that and why that's important? What else? Anybody else have any thoughts about this, about why this isn't so foundational to faith? It's a big idea. Seems simple, but it really is something that we need to appreciate. So when, you know, you look at some of these verses that show us, it was in the lesson here, that acknowledge throughout the ages that God is not just an idea, that He is real and living and truth. You know, Paul says here, as he talks about these things, he says in the last part of that verse, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And it's important, as you recognize some of these passages, especially as they were written in the New Testament, that this is the age when God is not showing them miraculous things that, you know, man can look at and can't explain. So Paul starts to write about some of these things and helps them to appreciate you need to have faith in the fact that God is true and real and living. In Romans, he just says very simply, who has known the mind of the Lord or who has been his counselor? There is nothing so great as this God that we serve. And the creator of heaven and earth, the eternal creator. Even in Acts, as men were looking towards Paul and those that were with him and wanted to worship him in some way because of the great things he said or the things that they had heard that he had done, what does he say there? He says, we are also men with a nature like yours. We bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. Now, don't take for granted what the Bible is telling us about that, that God made all of those things. We'll talk about that here in just a moment as we go through this. But, you know, just appreciate what it means to understand and to have faith in the fact that God created the heavens and the earth. So, you look at some of the words that were in the lesson here, the idea of creating and the idea of it coming out of nothing. That's important. That's an important concept for us to acknowledge as we think about these things. Because if you're going to compare God as eternal creator to man's various theories of how things came to be, they still, even though they offer some alternative of how things came to be, they can't compare with what God did. And so when you look at this verb or this word that is translated create in Genesis 1:1, you know, the writer brings out that the significance here, that it only has reference to God. This word bara that talks about create. But I want to focus on the other part of this here, where it says only God can create ex nihilo, out of nothing. How is that different than the theory of evolution? We talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago, but yeah. Right?
But God didn't have anything.
Yeah, right.
So that's the biggest difference,
was
they start with something.
Yep. And depending on how far back you go and how deep into the theories you get, all of the theories of evolution that things began from something and eventually evolved into what we have today, they start with, even if it is a speck of dust. You know, we're talking about several different particles and atoms coming together in a certain way in order to form something that eventually, you know, imploded or exploded, depending on who you talk to. It still had to start from something, right? That had to be created. That something had to be there, right? And where did that something that was there, that everything came from, where did that something come from? Nobody really has an answer for that. Okay, and we said a couple weeks ago, that still takes faith. You have to believe that happened, and you have no way to prove it or to reproduce it. So, you know, that still takes an act of faith. But the fact of why God is so great as an eternal creator and what we want to think about is the fact that he created from nothing. It says in Psalm chapter 33 and verse 9, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. If you just take a moment and let that sink in, that's just not something that we have ever known or seen anyplace else. That's not something that anyone else can do. Despite man's greatness and what they have advanced to be able to accomplish and whatever technology is there and artificial intelligence and wherever you want to go with that, we cannot speak and make something from nothing. So when you consider something that can do that, I mean, that really, literally ought to bring you to your knees to think about that. Alan, did you have something? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God is, because he is able to speak into existence anything that there is, yes, we ought to look at him and understand, appreciate that he is the ultimate creator, he is the ultimate forgiver, he is the ultimate of knowledge and wisdom and foresight. Anything that we know today, you know, trying to understand what wisdom and foresight and knowledge is. I mean, those were created by God, exemplified by God. So, you know, understanding really the depth of that is what helps us deepen our relationship with him. The Hebrew writer says this, you know, by faith, you know, here's the idea again of appreciating it that way. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things that are visible. And we've also learned to spell. Visible has an E on the end of it, in case you didn't know that. So when you appreciate that, and not just read over that, the idea that things were spoken into existence by this being, that really changes, I guess, hopefully it changes how we interact with him. So think about this in some of the time that we have left this morning. We think about these days of creation. And we're not going to go through each and every day, and this isn't a study of Genesis. But I want you to appreciate a few things that we see here as you go through this, because we take so many things for granted. It talks about him creating light and dividing light from darkness, and, you know, calling one the other. So I really don't know how else to explain it other than just to bring it forward and let you think about this. You know, if you've ever been in this building at night, or even when we leave here today, we're going to turn all the lights off. It gets dark pretty quick. There's not a lot of windows here. When you flip on the light, can you divide the light from the darkness? I mean, even first of all, understanding what that is and what that means, and appreciating that God is able to speak and to do that. I mean, hopefully that humbles us to recognize our place before him. And, you know, as you go through these days of creation and talking about the difference between the expanse and the firmament and the sky and God separating things and forming them and making what it is that we know today by the word of his mouth, you know, the land and the sea that he talks about in the third day. It's amazing to look around us and appreciate that there is an eternal creator. And when I say eternal creator, someone who has always been and always will be, who is able to control these things. And it's important to recognize that word eternal when you associate it with creator. Because God has always been and always will be, when you think about the slice of time that the earth and the universe and the galaxy will exist in, compared to eternity of God, it's so very small. But yet we look around and, you know, our lives and the things that we are and the things that we are a part of, and we look back at history and all the things that have happened and the accomplishments of man, and it seems so big to us, right? And we think about all the places man has been and all the things that we've accomplished and where will we go and what will we be. And you look at eternity, I mean, it's just, it's hard to represent how small that is. So the nature of God as an eternal creator is so very important. So, you know, I'm trying to think of how to represent that to you. So I have my space pictures here. I like these. I've used them before, I think, in different lessons. I've got a couple of them here. But just appreciate something, okay? So here is our galaxy, which was created by God. Our solar system, rather, was created by God. And, you know, the sun that we look up at every day in the sky, and as we glance up, we're thankful that we're alive. I don't know how often we think about it. You look up in the sky and it's about that big or so, right? But as the writer points out in the lesson here, God knew just where to put it so that everything survives. It's 93 million miles away. It's just the right distance. A couple of million miles closer and we fry a couple million miles away, and, you know, we're Mars and no atmosphere. But here we are on this little planet right here, compared to the sun, compared to the other things that God made for us to see. I don't know about you. I walked out a lot this summer and looked up in the sky, and millions of miles away, I could see this. You know, just with the eye that God gave me without a telescope. That's amazing when you think about it. When all the things you're looking through and how far away it is and what's out there, you know, and we can see some of the other planets up there. Just, you see our, you know, here, you and I are here this morning on this little blue ball. Tiny, tiny, tiny specks in what God has made. And we feel so important sometimes, don't we? But really, in the grand scheme of things, appreciate the nature of God and who He is. That we look at this and how vast it seems to us, just this part, all right? And God, who spoke it into existence, is so much larger than that. So when you bow your head at night, or maybe on your knee, or maybe we need to lay down prostrate on the ground to this eternal Creator, think about how small you are, but yet that His eternal nature, and He can appreciate all this outside of time, and He created it all, and He created you and me and everything that we know. Of all the things that are there, He's hearing you. He knows you. He listens to you. You can see your prayers or the prayers of others answered in all of this and how small we are. And that's amazing to think about. It really is when you consider it that way. But, you know, this is a very small, small part of the picture, isn't it? The picture gets bigger. So, you know, I showed you, you know, there's Earth and there's Jupiter. Well, now look at Jupiter. And we start comparing it to other stars and planets as they get bigger. Here's the sun. Or I'm sorry, no, that's Venus. The sun's down here. So you see how things progress. And you see in each of these pictures how we get smaller compared to the things that are around us. Sorry, I was reading ahead of myself. I was reading down here. This first picture is our planet. Here's our planets again. You know, and there's Earth that we think is so big, and, you know, here we are in different parts of it. And, you know, then we get to Jupiter and we compare that and how small that is. And you just keep going. You know, here's Jupiter, and then here's our sun. And, you know, our sun that we just talked about there for a few minutes that we think is so large and that sustains us and helps us, it just gets bigger. Here's, you know, Sirius, if you ever look up in the sky and find that one. Sometimes I can find it easily, sometimes I can't because, you know, it's a dot just barely big enough for me to see with my eye when I look in the right place. But, you know, look at that compared to our sun. And you keep going. In this next picture, you know, look how small it gets. This one right here. And you just keep going. You know, to the point that when you put some of these in perspective, if I was to draw this out, you know, all the way across the put all of these things in line, when you look at the largest one over here, you're not going to be able to go over here and see Earth anymore, or our sun, rather. And so you put all of those things in perspective, and you see not only the wisdom, or not only the power in God's creation, but the wisdom in it. And for Him, and you think about, you know, that verse that says in Psalm, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" Yeah, that should take you back a little bit. We got a few comments here. Let's take some of those. Ruby? Yeah, to go from here to here. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Or that's Venus, I guess. But yeah, when you think about it, it gives you the picture of the vastness of this eternal Creator. A couple other ones here, Dwight. Mm-hmm. hard to even think of that, isn't it? Hard to get your mind around that, right? Was there somebody else that had a comment? Alan, yeah.
Yeah, you said being done with God.
Mm-hmm.
That really should scare us, that God can know us, but there's also blessings in that. In other words, we're not going to have a blessing that lets us know.
Yeah, need to approach that fact with reverence and awe, right? With godly fear, right? Of who he is and what he knows. And so, you know, I like to put representations like this up, you know, because we think we're so big, but when you start making comparisons like this, and then you realize that God made all of this, God controls it all, and we've said a couple of times so far in this study about as man continues to advance in understanding, the more we learn, the more we prove that God, what God has said is real and true rather than disprove it, right? And so, you know, part of the lesson talked about, you know, our advancements in technology and that we now know that there are billions upon billions of stars. We see galaxies. I mean, we continue to discover these things that we just didn't even know were there. And, you know, you try to think of the vastness of it. Like Ruby was talking about, we fantasize about we're going to travel the stars. And right now, at our current pace, you know, it's going to take us 7 years to get to Mars. We see these shows about traveling across the galaxy. And, you know, the reality of it is it would take us, you know, right now it would take us 139,000 years to get to the nearest galaxy as close to ours. All right. So when you appreciate what God has made and what he has done, you cannot help but stand in awe of that. And so when we start to think about him as an eternal creator, that he exists outside of time, that he has made this for us to be here now, for us to have relationship with him, for us to appreciate who he is, and he wants us to appreciate who he is, that's why he made those things. For us to be able to look at that and understand, or try to understand, the greatness of who he is. And just getting our heads around that, you know, should humble us. And so you think about some of the things that we learn from these aspects then of divine creation. You know, we've talked about a lot of different things this morning, but, you know, the great wisdom that God has, we've discussed that in a couple different ways and look at some passage that shows that. How, you know, I didn't bring this up specifically yet, I guess, but the order that exists in all of these things. I started to mention it when we talked about the sun, but as the writer pointed out here, you know, when you just look at the workings of our small little planet and the things that surround it, how everything has to be in that order for it to work. But one thing that impressed me as I read through that material was, you know, is what he said about, the days and about how the earth goes. I don't know, I don't have it right in front of me here right at the moment, but, you know, it takes 365 days for the earth to go around the sun to make a year, but it actually takes 365 days, 5 hours and some other seconds and all of that. So, you know, we adjust that in our time by creating leap year, but since the earth has existed, that hasn't changed because God set it in motion. And he controls that, and he works that. And everything that he made, what does he say? That it was very good. That tells us that God made it for a reason, and that that it wasn't a mistake. He made it for us to be able to acknowledge him, to revere him, to understand him as best we can, and to know that it is through him that we would have relationships that will then bless us in eternity as well. You think about how awesome the power of the Creator is. You know, as Paul was in Athens in Acts the 17th chapter, he mentions this in the lesson as well, and he's explaining to them who God is. We'll talk about that a little bit maybe in our lesson tonight. Comparing it to everything else that they're worshiping or trying to worship, he talks about God, the eternal Creator, who by the word of his mouth made everything that is there. And he also explains in that passage in Acts the 17th chapter that what his desire is for him, for God, is to have a relationship with us and for us to know him and to understand him. And He's made these things for us to do that. So, you know, just kind of wrapping up here because we're running out of time here quickly. When you look at some of these other things that were in the lesson to help us understand God's intelligence and or his foresight and his power with things, you know, there's the idea of that's out there sometimes of God making things in these days are representative. That just takes away from the idea of his power when we start to think about things that way. There's no reason for us to think that. He tells us the evening and the morning were the first day and the second day and the third day. And so he defines what a day is, and we still use that definition of a day today, don't we? You know, the earth turns around. It takes 24 hours for it to turn. There's a morning and there's an evening, and that's a day. And that's what God made these things in. So let me ask you this question. Could God have done it differently? Yeah. Could he have made it all in one day? Yeah, he could have. Could he have, you know, made it all in a month or in several years? Whatever. He did it the way he did it to show us something, to help us appreciate the nature of who he is and what he can do, and help us to be able to go through and with our finite minds appreciate each thing that he did and why he did it and how they interact with each other and how they come together, and even the period of rest. Maybe we'll mention that again in tonight's lesson. You know, the sixth day, it says that on the seventh day that he rested after he created these things. Do you think that God needed rest? Okay. But there's a reason for that he did that, right? And he's showing us, he's teaching us things by that. And so when we see we hear this word intelligent design, it's coming to mean something different that I think sometimes takes away from the power of God. But we do see the intelligence in what has been made versus something that just comes into place, you know, out of an unknown random variable. And that's the difference that the writer's talking about here of the intelligent design of God. So when you think about this great design, all of these things, it demands a powerful creator. It demands an all-wise creator. And that's what we want to acknowledge God as we consider that. So this morning, that's what I hope that you would be able to appreciate is our place before a God like this, especially when we consider as best we can all that he has made. And I hope that you've been able to be impressed by that. Next week, we're going to look at some other aspects of God as an eternal creator. No, I take that back. 2 weeks from now. Next week is the gospel meeting, and Jordan will be teaching that morning. So 2 weeks from now, so the first week in November, we're going to pick up again and think some more about the idea of his eternal nature and how that affects us and our relationship with him. Thank you so much for your attention and for your comments this morning. We'll stop there.